Thank God he has risen. I want to say that I enjoyed Brother Buddy's preaching this morning. And him and I must be on the same track today. I want to read some of the same scripture that he read earlier today. I only want to read about three verses this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, please turn to Matthew chapter 28. And I want to read beginning with verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And those three verses give us the account of the Great Commission as it was recorded by Matthew. And I want to use this title for my message this morning, Honoring His Resurrection. And, I think that we need to know that in order to honor something, we have to understand what it was about, what its purpose was. And the Lord doesn't do anything. He never has done anything without purpose. God is just not an arbitrary God. He has a purpose in everything that he does. And the Lord's resurrection certainly had a great purpose. We would not, and it's already been, and I believe Brother Buddy mentioned this very thing this morning, we would have no reason to gather here today had it not been for the Lord's resurrection. Because everything that we would undertake to do in this service today would all be vanity. It would all be empty. It would be futile. It wouldn't mean anything had it not been for his resurrection. One of my favorite verses, I believe, in all Scripture, and certainly the one that has comforted me throughout my life as much as anything has, is where the women had gone there early in the morning there to the tomb. And there the angels asked them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And, there's great hope and comfort in that, isn't there? The Lord went down into the grave after his death at Calvary. He went down into the grave. And while he was there, he made it a pleasant place for his children to wait on the resurrection. That's what he accomplished. And then on scheduled time, he got up. The Bible says in Revelation 1 and 18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He had made it known, and you can read about it in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus had made it known that he had the power to lay it down. He had the power to lay down his life. And he said, I also have the power to take it up again. Now there had been those we know in reading throughout the Bible. We know that there had been those that had risen from the dead prior to Jesus rising from the dead. But there was a great difference. Nobody had ever done it by their own power. Those that had risen had been raised from the dead. They didn't raise, they had been raised. Jesus got up by his own power. I've got the power, he said, to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up again. And by doing so, the Bible teaches me that he became the first fruits of them that slept. And one day through him, we that, all of us here will experience one day a bodily resurrection. But through the Lord Jesus, those who have been saved will experience a bodily resurrection unto life. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 28, that the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So through the Lord Jesus, we will one day experience a great bodily resurrection. And he will change us and give us a body that won't hurt. He'll give us a body that won't be corrupted by sin. He'll give us a body that will be able to dwell eternally in heaven because of his resurrection. And so, as we think about these things, I want to bring forth some things today for you to consider, because we need to honor with our lives, we need to honor what the Lord did in his resurrection. I mean, there were things that he accomplished by his resurrection that could not be accomplished any other way. And if we don't follow those things that he intended for us to accomplish through that, then we won't be able to truly honor and rejoice in the fact that he is risen. You know, I've already said that I am thankful to be here today. And I appreciate what Brother Lovell, I'm going to reflect on a few things you said this morning, if you don't mind. If you do, I'm up here and I'll do it anyway. But he made mention of the fact that the word Easter is actually only in the Scriptures one time, and that was where the Bible told us there in Acts chapter 12 that James had already been killed by Herod's sword, and they intended after Easter to do the same to the Apostle Peter. And in that place, it was a mistranslation. It should have been translated Passover. But in our day, this is a day that is set aside in the realm of religion. And people all over our nation today will gather in various assemblies. And their main thought today will be on the resurrection. I'm going to tell you that many of them will not honor his resurrection today because they don't know anything about it. If you have not been saved, you don't know the power of the Lord's resurrection. Because those of us that have been saved have already experienced resurrection. Our souls have already been brought from death unto life. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so our soul has already experienced resurrection, spiritual resurrection. We've been brought back from the dead. And again, I'm going to say that in order to truly honor the resurrection of the Lord, you've got to first have that spiritual experience with Him. And there are many things that are done in this, and I'm going to clarify this. I want you to know that I'm not making fun of anybody, and I don't mean this in that way at all. I'm just going to simply state some of the things that are done connected with this holiday that is called Easter. People color eggs and they hide them for children. People walk around, with bunny ears on, and they have rabbits and little baskets and grass and everything, you know, sitting all over the place. I mean, people do all sorts of things that are connected with this day that in our society is known as Easter. But, you know, this day, and not only this day, but every day that we live ought to be about honoring the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you this, that Jesus did not envision His resurrection as something that would bring us together to think about it one time out of the year. He never intended it for it to be that way. Now, where I came from and where I was raised in the churches there in Indiana, and I haven't been in Kentucky very long, just a few months. Maybe it's the same way here. But where I was raised in Indiana, you would see people that would come to church once and maybe twice a year. But you would see people that about the only time that you would see them was when the church was holding an Easter service. And I want to say to you today that if you're here and you fit into that category, I want to say that that is not at all what the Lord had in mind when He resurrected from the dead. I'll guarantee you that He hoped to purchase much more than that. And, you know, and truthfully, and I want you to know that I'm thankful for everybody that's here today, and I'm always thankful for every time that anybody is in service, but, you know, the sad part of it is that I grew up experiencing that sometimes that would even be people that were members of the church. And that one time and maybe twice, perhaps at Christmas, you might see them again, but they would come and they would be there for Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, they would be there at church. Well, let me say this, and I'm just going to be, I speak this to you with love, but I'm just going to be very straightforward in what I mean. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you're showing up for church on Easter Sunday and you're not darkening the doors of the church any other time, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's not what the Lord intended with His resurrection. He hoped to purchase much more in our lives than us simply coming together for a special service one time a year known as Easter Sunday, when people come together to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Friends, listen. If we're not proclaiming it in our everyday lives, we're not honoring the Lord's resurrection. What was it all about? I want you to think with me for a moment here about the verses that were read. But first of all, in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible tells us that He, that being Jesus, was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, friends, we need to understand that when the Bible says that He was raised again for our justification, it doesn't mean that He was raised again just for us to be able to go to heaven. There's more to justification than us being able to go to heaven. Because to be justified means to be declared righteous. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again that we might be declared righteous. And if you have been declared righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you owe Him your absolute life. The Bible tells us, and Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Friends, we that have been saved by God's grace are a purchased possession. And God is our Heavenly Father. And I read one time, somebody had very cleverly put on a church sign. They were trying evidently to prompt people to pray. And the sign said, if God is your Father, you need to call home. And there's a lot of truth in that. And I know that as a parent, I have a great desire to see my children more than just every once in a while. I have a great desire to see them every opportunity that they might have. You know, we're separated by the miles, but I'm thankful that, you know, from time to time they'll pick up the phone and they'll check in with Dad and we'll talk for a while and we'll see how each other, you know, we'll see how we're doing and how things are going. And listen, if God is your Heavenly Father, you don't need to stay away from Him all year long and then come and try to celebrate His resurrection. That's not at all what He intended. I believe in these verses that were read. And I want you to notice how that Jesus spoke to His disciples. He had not spoke to them in this way before. After His resurrection, He spoke to them in a very distinct way. You see, these verses that were read there in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, these things that Jesus told His disciples, He instructed them to do these things after that He had risen from the dead. Jesus had already been crucified. He had already resurrected. He had already proven Himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. And He never spoke to His disciples this way until after He had resurrected from the dead. Now, make note once again, Jesus had told them that He had power. He had told them that He had the power to lay down His life and He had the power to raise it up. But when He came after His resurrection and spake to His disciples, He said, all power has been now given unto me. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus said before them, I have all authority. Let me tell you what, Jesus, when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus there took His body and they laid it in the grave, when He rose on the third day, the Bible teaches me there again in the book of Revelation that when Jesus came up from the grave, that He had with Him the keys of hell and of death. Friends, listen, He didn't just rise, He rose with great vital living authority. Jesus rose with authority over death. I've got the keys, He said. The keys to hell and to death. I've got the keys to unlock it. And boy, He will. I stood just a few days ago. I stood there next to Brother Moran there at Sister Weaver's funeral, and we watched as they closed the coffin and as they secured it and got it ready for burial, and I had this awesome thought, and I turned to Brother Moran, and I said, Brother Moran, it doesn't make any difference how tight they lock that up. She's coming out. Jesus has the key. He can unlock death and unlock the grave. He's got the power over it. Jesus came to his disciples with great power and great authority. And he said, it's all been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now, when we read the word wherefore or therefore in the Bible, what that word generally means is in consequence of. When you read one thought and then you read wherefore or therefore, then that word causes us to connect back to the main thought. And so Jesus came to them and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And in consequence of this, go and disciple all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. What was his resurrection about there, friends? It was about you and I going to work for the Lord. It wasn't about us just sitting idle and waiting for the time that we could assemble ourselves together and celebrate, have a day that celebrates the resurrection of the Lord. When Jesus got up from the grave and came and spoke to his disciples and said, I've got all the authority that there could possibly be. It's all been given unto me. And in view of that, my children, I want you to go to work. I want you to go all across this world. I want you to go to Judea. I want you to go to Samaria. I want you to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want you to do my work. And I want you to go out. And I want you to declare my resurrection. You know what? Friends, you cannot lock God up in a building. You can't do it. But sometimes I'm afraid we try to. Solomon realized that great truth, didn't he? When it was made known to him that he was going to build the temple, you know what Solomon said about God? He said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. The heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, let alone this house that I'm about to build. And friends, listen, God is too big and he's too powerful to be locked up inside of four walls. And listen, in this beautiful sanctuary that we have here to come together and worship the Lord, it is out there in the world, in our everyday lives, among the people, that we need to boldly declare the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his disciples did. You read, and I won't have time to go into all of it today, perhaps, but I want to encourage everybody here, every member here. I want to encourage you to study the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And you know what you'll find out? You'll find out that their primary message as they went out was they went out declaring to the people that this Jesus that you have crucified and slain, he's no longer in the grave. He's no longer in the tomb, friends. He has risen from the dead. You look in the 19th chapter of Acts, when Paul was a prisoner, and after that he had appealed unto Caesar, and he was there before Felix, and then Felix rehearsed the matter before Agrippa, and he said, well, I've got this prisoner that was under Festus, And, you know, he has appealed, or I sat down rather as soon as I got jurisdiction of it. And these aren't the exact words, but this is basically what we read in that chapter. He said, as soon as he came to my charge, I sat down on the judgment seat to judge him, but he appealed unto Caesar. And Felix told Agrippa, he said, you know, besides this, these people that are accusing him, they're not bringing in all the accusations that I thought that they would bring. He said, everything that they're bringing before me has to do with their own superstition or their own religion. In other words, he said, this is nothing but a religious matter. They're upset at this man named Paul because he is saying things that's upsetting their religious beliefs. And he said, one of the things that he's proclaiming is he's talking about this man Jesus that's dead, but Paul is going around affirming him to be alive. Imagine that. You know what? Friends, listen. Those that walked the closest with the Lord while he was here on the earth, those disciples that he had handpicked, you know what? You know what's sad? I mean, it really is sad. They just couldn't grasp the thought of his resurrection, could they? They just couldn't get it. He had told them, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He'll be crucified and slain. And on the third day he will rise. He had told them exactly what was going to happen. And yet that morning there on that third day, not one of those men was standing there at the tomb waiting and anticipating his resurrection. Friends, listen, they just didn't get it. You know what? I wonder sometimes today if we do. I wonder sometimes today if we're not still confused about what we need to do to honor his resurrection. I can't answer the question for you. I can ask it. How many times throughout the course of this past week have you declared him to be alive? How many times before your family, before your friends, before your peers, before your coworkers? How many times, perhaps before your boss, somebody that's over you, just like Paul was in that position there with Agrippa, as far as that goes, he was there before a king, and he was proclaiming, listen, Jesus is alive. Paul was affirming him to be alive. Are we affirming the Lord to be alive? And I'm talking about, in our everyday walk, in our everyday life, are we honoring the Lord's resurrection by proclaiming loudly and boldly before this world the way that the apostles proclaimed it when they went out, and even when their lives were in danger because of it, they made it known. Boy, I'll tell you what, listen. You read, I believe it's in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostle. The Apostle Peter took a bold stand. He took a bold stand when he stood before that angry mob of Jews, and he said, let me tell you something. This same Jesus that you have crucified and slain, God has made him both Lord and Christ. What did Peter tell them in that? What did he tell them? Well, didn't he proclaim the resurrection? Sure he did. God wouldn't have made him both Lord and Christ if he would have been dead, would he? Peter was proclaiming before them, this man that you have taken and you have crucified and you have slain, God has raised him from the dead and made him both Lord and Christ. He went on and said that God loosed the pains of death and that it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Death couldn't keep the Lord down. And I'll tell you what, through him, it won't keep us down either. Friends, listen. They may lay your body in the coffin one of these days. That'd be all right if you're saved. That'd be all right. They may lay your dead, cold body, your lifeless body in the coffin one of these days, and people will come around and view it like we've done many times, and they'll see that there's no life in it. But let me tell you something. If you've come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, when they put that body in the grave, I want you to know something. That death will not hurt you. Death will not be able to do anything to harm you. For the children of God, the very best that it can hope to accomplish is to separate us from each other for just a little bit of time. But let me tell you something, friends. That body is coming forth. You know what's strange about that? And I think about it a lot. And you know what? In my mind, I can't even imagine that. I can't even comprehend it. But you know what's strange about it? I believe it. I believe it. I mean, I'm totally convinced. I am 100% sold out, totally convinced that one day my body will resurrect from the dead and be joined to my soul there to be with God forever. You want to honor the Lord's resurrection? Especially those of us as His people. You want to honor the Lord's resurrection? Go do His work. Go do His work. Don't try to do it by coming to church once in a while. Go do His work. Get busy for the Lord. Carry out what He told them. There was a reason why He resurrected. I'll tell you what, when you think about it, I mean, when you really sit down and think about it, when you really ponder it, I can, I don't know about you, but I can get shouting happy over thinking about the Lord's resurrection. I mean, I can rejoice in my heart over the Lord's resurrection. But you know what? He intended more than my rejoicing. He intended for me to work, to do His bidding, to go and to make disciples of the nations. That's what He intended for His church to do. And we must do that in order to honor His resurrection. We must do it. Well, I'm finished. I appreciate your attention. We need to keep things in their proper perspectives, because as I said, people do all sorts of different things. I mean, people celebrate Easter, Christmas, you know, in all sorts of different ways. Some of them are pretty weird. But you know, we need to keep things in perspective as to what the Lord Jesus really intended. And when he got up from the dead, friends, I promise you, when He got up from the grave, He didn't do it with the intention of coming to His people and saying, well, everything's finished now, it's all done. You know, you don't have anything to worry about. No, He did it to send them to work. I've got all the power now. Now you go out and you proclaim what has happened. You go tell the world about the fact that I've risen. You let them know that I'm alive. You're my voice now here on the earth. And they did that. They did that. And we need to do it today. Brother Sanford, I need you to lead us in a song, if you would, please. I've got something I need to do here today. I'd like to open the doors of the church. I'm just going to say this, that if you have been saved by God's grace, you need to be a part of His church. You can't do His work any other way, because His work is done through the church. That's who Jesus was speaking to when He came and commissioned them. He commissioned the church and sent the church out to do His work. So if you've been saved, you need to be part of the Lord's church, and you need to be about His business. You need to be doing His work. And so the way that we receive members is by experience and baptism, that being if you know that you have been saved by God's grace, then you come up and tell your experience, and the church will act accordingly on that, and you will be